Hello and welcome to Simply Reds, a Manchester United podcast. So today on the show, we cover the first and very enlightening press conference with Jose. We reveal who his transfer targets are, his style of play, the truth about Ryan Giggs, and the misconception about Jose and youth, and also Rooney's future, so stay tuned. So welcome to the show, guys. I'm Zain Khan, I'm your host. I'm also joined by Mudge, the brightest spark in grassroots football-ish.
I'll take that.
By ish, I mean not at all, really. Mudge, how are you and how have you been on our time off?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Delighted to be back on here again. And I think we've got an action-packed show today because we've missed quite a lot. There's a lot has happened in the past week regarding Jose Mourinho in particular. So yeah, we've got lots to talk about.
I know you're chomping at the bit, but I guess we might make mention of Mitt as well, who's I believe he's off at ballet classes. we'll leave you with that thought. We want you to interact with the show. We've been getting some great feedback on all mediums, so please keep it coming. How do you get in touch, I hear you ask? Well, simplyreds.co.uk is the website. Click on feedback. Or we're on Twitter as well, @simply_reds. That's our Twitter handle. Get your feedback, get your comments in. Let us know what you want us to discuss. We're also on iTunes. Just search for Simply Reds in the podcast section, or even Manchester United in the podcast section, and you'll find us there. I must admit at this stage, I've got a bout of man flu, so if you hear me choking my guts out in the background, Mujtaba, don't be alarmed, don't panic. In fact, I think my nose has dribbled more in the last 2 days than Depay has all season. You reckon my nose is worth 30 million? I don't know. Right, anyway, on with the show. So we're still relatively new, relatively fresh on the podcast scene. So what I've decided to do this show is divide what we're going to talk about into sections. So the first section I'm aptly calling One Matter. Yeah, so this One Matter section, a little play on words there. What we're going to be discussing is Jose's first press conference as Manchester United manager. So it was held on Tuesday the 5th, so it was last week, and there's plenty of talking points from that. The talking points really give us an insight into Jose's mind and what to expect this season. So let's go through some of the highlights. First and foremost, United's style of play. So Jose anticipated this question. So very much in terms of his style of play, he's very much defined that as scoring lots of goals, conceding not many goals, playing young players, and having the fans behind him. So given the recent lack of success and the dire football post Ferguson era, are we willing to accept doing anything to get back to winning ways, Mujtaba?
That's a tough one. I don't think so. I'm not going to take much from his press conference, to be honest. Looking back at when Van Gaal's reign started, his press conference was absolutely amazing, his first press conference. And I was really impressed by what he said and how he handled the media. So, yeah, like I said, I'm not going to take much from it, but I think Jose did address the right issues. He spoke about winning and doing everything to win. To be honest, he told us what we wanted to hear.
Yeah, he played it down to the T with regards to that. You look at his demeanor as well, very much previously. I think the first question that was actually asked of him was, what's your name now? Are you still the special one? And he kind of really played that down. And I think it's in line with what the club sort of expect him to do. He's not bigger than the club, so I don't think he wanted to come out and have that same demeanor about him. He even made mention of the fact that when he first came to the Premiership, he was the special one, and he wanted to make a bit of an impact. But this is very much a different era for him and for the club as well. So you're absolutely right. I do want to get your thoughts on the fact that with regards to Jose and him talking about his style of play, are you comfortable with us doing pretty much anything we can just to win at this stage, or do you genuinely expect to see a good brand of football as well as us winning games?
I think it's a bit of both. We need to win, that's paramount. We're Manchester United, we need to put the points on the board. But alongside that, I mean, looking at the signings he's made as well, you know, it's quite evident he wants to play attacking football. He wants lots of goals. And looking historically at his teams, I mean, he gets a lot of stick of parking a bus. But historically, all of his teams have scored plenty of goals. So I'm really looking forward to him starting.
Yeah, us as rivals fans, it's easy for us sometimes. You know how it is. You're having a bit of banter with your mates and you want to poke holes and jab the other supporters and teams. And it's easy for us to say, well, all you guys do is park the bus. It's all fun and games, but I don't think there's really much reality or truth behind it. Yeah, it happens once in a while. And we've seen Jose use that tactic before. But to be honest, as I've said, whilst parking the bus isn't the prettiest, it's won him games. Okay, so let's move on from that point. We don't want to dwell too much on it. We'll see what style of play Jose is all about once the season gets underway, and very much so with regards to even the preseason game. So we'll keep a close eye on that, and we'll discuss it in further episodes. Moving on to the second point, Jose was asked about his rivalry. Now, obviously, Pep Guardiola is also within the Premier League. He was asked about what are his thoughts about this. Very much, I would say, a deep rivalry which stretches back to 2010, I believe, when Jose was in charge of Inter, that famous Inter side that beat Barca in the Champions League semi-final. So he was asked about this bit of rivalry, and I think his response to that was quite an amicable one, but I don't know if I buy it or not. I don't know if I believe it or not. So what he said was he's got a point to prove in terms of his own standards. He sets himself standards, and Manchester United as a club expect big things. So he's not looking directly at his rivals to kind of feel some sense of achievement. All he wants to do is meet his own expectations as a manager, as an individual, and also the club's expectations. And he was also mentioning the fact that it's not a rivalry between him and Pep. Is look at everybody else. Look at Ranieri with Leicester City. It's up for grabs for anyone. There's plenty of good managers in the pot. So I guess my question to you is, do you believe Jose's spiel about the fact that he's not concerned about Pep? Or do you think he genuinely is concerned, but he just doesn't want to show it? I think it's also worth mentioning the fact that the Jose-Pep rivalry, Jose's only got a win rate of 18% against it, so he must fear Jose must fear Pep in some way or another. I think he's just downplaying it. What are your thoughts?
I think Jose's feeling very much like us fans at the moment in regards to Pep Guardiola. He knows he's there. He knows he'll have to deal with them at one point, but his first priority is Manchester United getting started, making his mark, and really impressing the fans before he can move on to that Pep saga.
Yeah, so you don't think he's worried too much about him? You know, he knows he's on the periphery, and it's something that a hurdle that he's going to have to deal with, but he's not too concerned about it right now.
Yeah, I think it's really early days. I mean, both Pep and Jose are in a bit of the same boat at the moment. They've both got points to prove, and Pep's got a huge point to prove. I mean, can he survive the Premier League? He's never done it before. Jose has, but Jose had a really poor season last season, so he's got that pressure. He's got that monkey on his back. So he needs to impress. He needs to impress not only the Premier League, but most importantly, the Manchester United fans and the media, which is the most important.
Yeah, I guess both of them have got slightly different points to prove, but I think the rivalry is going to be a mouth-watering affair with the forthcoming season. It's going to be really an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, interestingly, we're playing each other really early as well, so that doesn't really help.
You got a rough idea of when we're playing City?
We've got them. I believe it's September the 10th we've got them. So,
ouch.
Yeah, early. I think it's about our fifth game. If I'm not mistaken. Okay. So yeah, it's pretty early on. So, and we're at home, thankfully. Okay. So yeah, the crowd's going to be roaring, and I'm looking forward to that one.
So let's move on to one of the big threads in terms of some of the stories that we've been talking about in recent podcasts, which is the whole story around Ryan Giggs. Now, I don't want to dwell too much on it because we have covered it in quite some depth previously, but this is a slightly different slant on it, given the fact that Jose's pretty much got he was out there at the press conference just laying out the truth, essentially. So what's the truth about Ryan Giggs? Well, essentially, Giggs wanted the full manager's role. I think even after Moyes was sacked, Giggs has always, I don't think he's been he's not held back his ambition to be Manchester United manager full time. And I think Manchester United pretty much said to him, look, Jose's the man in charge at the moment, but you can have any other position that you want. Just an interesting fact that I found out quite recently about Ryan Giggs. He's been part of United, whether it's been a player or an assistant, for 21% of United's history. So 29 out of 138 years that the club's been around, he's been there or thereabouts. So 21% of his history. He's a massive part of the club. And just, I guess, chucking it over to you in terms of we've talked about Ryan Giggs quite a lot. What would you have rather had of these two scenarios I'm going to pitch to you? Would you rather have had, after the FA Cup victory, Manchester United announcing the fact that LVG is going to step down and Ryan Giggs is going to be the new manager, or are you happy with Jose now being the new Manchester United manager? Which one would you have rather had?
If you had asked me back then, I would have said Giggs. Because I wasn't quite convinced that Jose wanted the job, or we wanted him as well. But now that we're at this point now, I think we've made the right decision. I think Giggs has made the right decision as well. So yeah, I would go for the latter.
you've bought into the Jose Mourinho. You've seen all those pictures on Instagram and Twitter and all the good stuff that he's been coming out with. I think what sealed it for me was probably the Manchester United puzzle piece. That for me, I know that Manchester United is fully ingrained and he's fully onboarded with what the club
is absolutely loving it. You know that. He's like a kid in the first day at school. He's loving it.
Yeah, he is. But anyway, let's move on because we've got plenty to cover during this episode. So next, the press conference veered into a direction where he was asked about potentially some of the misconceptions or the conceptions that are held around him. One of those being the youth misconception, or misconception as he, Jose Mourinho, would like us to think it is. So he thinks that this whole kind of concept of he doesn't give youth a chance is a complete falsehood. He said, one lie repeated many times sometimes looks true, but it will never be true. If you want the names, I'll give you the names. So he believes 49 players. There's 49 players. He pulled out a list. He rifled through this little book of his, this moleskin book of his, where he came up with these 49 players, which he believes are kind of, I guess, players that have come from youth squads at his tenure at various clubs historically, who he's given a chance. Some of those are quite big names as well. He didn't share the list, but we can hazard a guess. Get it? Never mind. I guess some of it isn't really about youth, because I did a little bit of research trying to figure out who he was sort of talking about, and you can see things that players like Maniche, Deco, etc. are players that he's given the opportunity to but weren't potentially young players. And another, you know, we were talking about jabs that he was having at players and managers earlier. One of the jabs that he had was, he said, I never promote players because of the need. I did it because of conviction. I did 49, some of them big names. They are Champions League winners in Euros playing for national teams. So I think he was making or having a little bit of a jab at LVG and Rashford, really, given the fact that LVG was forced into making that decision as opposed to giving him a chance because he thought the player was good enough. So I guess, did Jose make a valid case? If you were the jury, would you find him guilty of not giving youth a chance, or would you say, you know what, I'll acquit him? He makes a good case for himself. What are your thoughts?
I don't think I was quite convinced with the list of 49 odd players that he's claimed to have bought through. But one thing is for sure, that he was prepared. He brought it up. He knew it was coming. And what does that show? That shows that he understands the pressure he will face from the media and from the fans about the youth players coming through. I mean, I've said this before, but looking at his past tenure at Chelsea and Inter and Real Madrid, I'm not going to count Inter, because I always believe Inter was always going to be short-term for him and it was a stepping stone for him. So he just did his thing and moved on to a bigger club. So looking at Real Madrid and Chelsea, those are two clubs that don't believe in a youth policy anyway. So we cannot judge Jose looking at what he did at Madrid and Chelsea. They're both clubs who just don't give a toss about a youth policy, to be honest. And they said they still don't. So we just can't judge him. It's being unfair. But he did say that he's more concerned about winning, and he understands that bringing players, young players through, he didn't bring them through because he didn't need them as such. But I think he will embrace this culture at Manchester United now.
It's one of those things. He has to. Yeah, he has to. It's the fabric, it's the DNA of the club. And I think if he starts to veer away from that, he'll not only have the fans on his back, but also I believe that the club is very much rooted, and the core individuals you look at, so Bobby Charlton, Alex Ferguson, etc., are still very much involved in the club. So it's not as if he can sort of do as he pleases with the club. He's very much a cog in the grand machine that is Manchester United. So I don't think he's going to be able to just brush aside the youth that we've got. Plus, let's be honest, this season, and I think even the season under Moyes, some of our brightest sparks, some of the gleaming beacons of those seasons have been our youth players.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. The likes of Januzaj coming through under Moyes as well. But again, going back to Mourinho, I don't think, you know, his 10 years at Chelsea, at firstly, and Madrid, they were always going to be short-term anyway. He just really wanted to make his mark and win. He was desperate. His second stint at Chelsea, I'm of the believing that I don't think he really wanted that job. We all know he was desperate for the United job and he didn't get it. Again, I think he was just focused on getting that title and he got it ultimately. Now, if we look at him, he's a total different Jose. He's got his dream job. And if you offered him a 100-year contract, he would accept it gladly. He's at his right. He's right at the right club, and he knows, the objectives of Manchester United. He knows what he will embrace it.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, if we go back to the point of, around kind of the point that you made around Inter Milan and how it was a relatively short stint and he didn't really give, well, he wasn't geared up to give these individuals, these young players a chance, mainly because, you know, they've not really got a ingrained youth policy into the DNA of the club. To be fair, I think what he was probably referring to was more his stints at Porto, originally during his 2002 to 2004 tenure, where he's, I guess he's referring to a couple of youngsters there. I think Carlos Alberto, just reading off a couple of names from one of the reports that I read. And then he's looking more towards his tenure at Chelsea as well, in 2004 to 2007. But to be honest, some of the names that I see, I believe some of the names on this, these 47 elusive names, I think some of them are probably going to be unknowns that were given their debut but really didn't make much of themselves. So I'm looking at Stephen Watt on this report here. Jimmy Smith, Michael Woods, Anthony Grant. Don't even act like you know half these guys. Sam Hutchison. And then again, you've got some of the big names as well, which apparently he gave a chance to. So, well, John Terry was 23 at the time. Arjen Robben, 20. Petr Cech, 22. So I don't know if you could class them as youth products at all. No. Yeah, but I think they're on his list. They're on his list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not sure if we're buying it here at Simply Reds, Jose. But at least I'll give him points. I'll give him kudos for, you know, facing up to the press and anticipating the question and putting forward at least a decent.
Yeah, you know what the honest truth is, that I think this youth policy, this youth regime at Manchester United is a bit of a myth. Looking at Fergie's tenure, I mean, how many youth players did Fergie really bring through? There wasn't too many. I mean, there was the famous five or six, you know, the likes of Nicky Butt, Scholes and Beckham. They all came through.
What, in 92?
Yeah, class of 92.
Do you think it's a little bit of like hanging off the coattails?
Absolutely,
those
came through. They all came through together. And you know what? It will never, ever happen again. That was just a freak. That was a bit of luck where you had five or six players come through at the same time who were of a genuine quality. That's okay. Never happened again. I mean, looking at Fergie later on, how many other players did he bring through? It was just the odd one here, really. It was John O'Shea, Brown. But other than that, there wasn't any world class player that came through.
Well, to be fair, I think it depends on how you define giving youth products or the academy a chance, or how you as with anything, it all comes down to how you break it down and how you want to analyze it. So if you want to look at it based on how many youth players made it into the Manchester United squad and established themselves as first squad regulars and went on to have success with the club, you're right, it's going to be a handful of players, if that. Whereas I think if you define it as players who came through the academy and either went on to have success within the Manchester United squad, all went off to pastures new to other Premier League clubs based off of that kind of, I guess, analysis or that kind of breakdown, then the whole argument is shifted on its head. So I believe if you look at in terms of youth academies and the top Premier League teams and the success of those academies, then I think Manchester United up there. You look at like a bunch of different players that are currently playing within the Premier League that have had their that have come through the Manchester United ranks. That's where I think Manchester United is seen as a club who really develops youth players, even if they don't necessarily go on to make it into the Manchester United first squad. That's a roundabout way of saying I think it depends how you look at this kind of conception that Manchester United give youth a chance. It really depends how you frame
that. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you, but I'm just looking at it from a fan's point of view. I mean, I don't really care about, you know, the Darren Gibsons, the Chris Heals, the Luke Chadwicks, the Tom Heatons, the Ryan Shawcrosses, because they're not good enough to play for Manchester United. They're not good enough. I want to see genuine quality. I want to see the likes of Rashford coming through, who we know will be a fantastic player. If we look at good youth policies across the world, we're looking at the likes of Sporting Lisbon, who have bought through world-class players. Not only have they come through, they've gone on to play for huge clubs, you know, the Cristiano Ronaldos, the Nanis of this world. I'm talking of the ilk, these sort of players. Ajax, look at Ajax, Rafael van der Vaart, you know, Wesley Sneijder. These are, you know, Van der Sar, Reiziger, Cliver. You know, these are genuine players who came through but actually had world-class careers. Not the Shawcrosses of this world. They're not good enough.
What about your Danny Drinkwater?
Yeah, exactly. He's another example. I mean, you know, people were saying, you know, why did you not let him go? I mean, he's a rubbish player. Come on, let's face it. I know Leicester won the league and he was fantastic, but come on, he's not good enough, is he?
He was damn good. I guess he'll have to prove himself in the forthcoming seasons as well. He's not exactly the oldest player, but he's not the youngest. He's not a spring chicken either. So I think you make a good point, and we had a good little discussion about what it really means in terms of Manchester United's DNA around youth players as well. So moving swiftly on, there's a little bit of banter with Jose within that press room around meeting up with Ferguson and the advice that Ferguson offered him. Jose bantered around the fact that the first piece of advice Ferguson offered him was to bring an umbrella, and the first training session, what happened? Yep, Fergie was right. He needed that umbrella because it's pissing it down. So he was talking about how he's going to have regular meetups with Ferguson, and he seemed to sort of suggest that there's a real good relationship between them two. I know they've always been friends, but I was thinking, well, I was having more sinister thoughts. So, well, do you think Jose is bitter in any way, given the fact that he wasn't first choice after Fergie left? I know Barcelona was sort of his old home. That's kind of where he was, born and raised as a translator. But they don't want him as a manager either. So, I mean, what is it about Jose that makes him a little bit of a reject? And do you think he's a little bit bitter, the fact that he wasn't first choice for Manchester United?
I don't think bitter is the right word. I think he would be disappointed. But I think now that he's at the club, he will have let that go. I mean, I was listening to, when Jose was appointed, I was listening to a talk spot on the radio, and I heard Andy Gray come out and say that he thinks that Jose Mourinho purposely spiraled with Chelsea on a downward trend because he knew Van Gaal's reign wasn't going well. He knew he was going to get sacked, which meant he would have get the United job.
I think a manager of Jose's ego would never allow that to happen. I think he would have engineered a move out of the club if he really wanted to. I think he's clever enough to do that. So I don't think I buy that. And we know just in terms of the news that we sort of get, and we constantly keep a close eye on these footballing matters, we're pretty sure that there was very much the dressing room within that Chelsea environment that sort of turned on Jose. And that's kind of what meant that he eventually had to sort of depart. We know that within that Chelsea dressing room, there's key characters, certain players that are potentially lauded as being bigger than the club, and they are individuals that can even, they've got the power to get the manager sacked. It's a sad state of affairs, modern football, but that's what it is. But yeah, I mean, just going back to the question around Jose being bitter, you don't think he's bitter, you think he's kind of over that. He is where he wants to be.
He's, like I said, he's got his dream job now. He's forgotten everything. He's where he wants to be, and I think it's at the right time. It's a fantastic time to take over the club. We talk about projects in football, and there's no bigger project in the world right now than taking United back to where it should be.
Well, yeah, especially given the fact that he's been given what seems to be a blank check to go out and buy players. But let's hold our thoughts on that. There's one point that we've got to cover before we move on to all important transfer rumours, which is Rooney's role. So the last question that he was asked was around Wayne Rooney. Where does he see him in terms of fitting into his grand scheme of things, into his grand plan? So I guess most of all, my question is to... Well, Jose Mourinho's answer was he very much sees him as a out-and-out centre-forward, either a number 9 or a number 10 is what Jose said. What's the answer to the Wayne Rooney dilemma? If you were Jose, would you cut your losses and cash in on him whilst there's still some cash to be had, or is there still some legs left in this old horse? What are your thoughts on the Rooney dilemma?
I am absolutely delighted with what Jose came out and said about Rooney. It was music to my ears. Honestly,
you think he can rejuvenate his career? I know he's done it before, and I made mention of John Terry's recent stint back into form. Do you think he can do the same with the likes
of Wayne? Absolutely. I think the problem with United fans right now is what we're doing is, I mean, all of us, I'm guilty of this as well, we're judging our current squad based on what we saw during Van Gaal's tenure, and I think that is completely the wrong thing to do. We all know that Van Gaal sucked the life of all of the players. He played them out of position, the football was dreadful, and because of that, you didn't see the best of all the players' abilities. I mean, just look at some of our new signings. I mean, look at Morgan Schneiderlin. I mean, he just looks half the player. That doesn't mean he's a rubbish player. No, it doesn't. It means that he was being, he was being played in the wrong tactics and the wrong style of play, the wrong manner. And that's the same for Wayne Rooney as well. I'm completely going to ignore what we saw with England with Wayne Rooney. So let's
ignore
England.
I was going to make mention of that, but then I thought there's absolutely no point. That's another prime example of, I think it gives us a little bit of insight into, LVG's reign at United a little bit. He was all about, right, I've got a system and you've got to fit into the system. And I think with with the England squad and Roy Hodgson, he was more about, I've got the players and I've got to create a system for them. I think you need a bit of balance, and maybe that's what Jose can provide this season.
Yeah, Jose came out and said he wants to play Rooney in that 9.5, he called, or that 10, and I think, you know, that's where I want to see Wayne Rooney as well. He's got plenty to offer, and I think he's going to have an absolutely phenomenal season. He's going to thrive in that position. You know, people talk about the young Wayne Rooney. He used to burst past players and dribble past players, and that's gone from his game. You know what? That's a bit of a myth as well. I mean, when Wayne Rooney was established in the team, he didn't do much of that anyway. What he was so good at was receiving the ball from deep and spraying out passes, and then making runs into the box and getting onto the end of it. He was never this sort of player who would run past five or six players. He did it on the occasion, but it was more the likes of Ronaldo and the Tevezes who did that role, and the Nonis rather than Rooney. Rooney was that cog, he was that engine, and he can still play that role for us.
Whilst I agree with you on that kind of analysis of Wayne Rooney in his, I guess in his, it depends how you sort of define his prime, but I think when he first broke onto the scene, he was an energetic, he was a real fearless type of player. I think back then he had no qualms in taking on anybody in the world one-on-one, whereas I think now his kind of role has, he's been a bit more demure, I think, if that's the right word. He's not as keen to take players on anymore. You'll notice that, and you will have noticed that within the Euros as well.
Absolutely.
I think the one opportunity where he did take to go past a player, he managed to dig out a cross, and I think England scored. Again, my memories is that of a fish, so don't sort of quote me on that one. Actually, no, that was the I think it was the FA Cup
final.
It was the FA Cup, exactly. So I think, you know, that's not the, and again, even when he went past that player, he didn't look as if he was comfortable on the ball either. It's something that he knew he had to do. Again, it didn't seem a natural part of his game, and that's something that, you know, he's as with, I think, Ryan Giggs, he did a similar sort of thing. As you grow older, you lose some of these attributes such as pace, maybe a little bit of the trickery as well, and you've got to adapt your game. And I think naturally that's what Wayne Rooney's done. But I think if Wayne Rooney were to look back on his career, I really expected a hell of a lot more from him, especially when he burst onto the scene in those Euros. I think it was against France, wasn't it, where he made a massive impact. He really looked like a really a shining.
Yeah, I think that was more of a case of Rooney being so unselfish, being more of a team player rather than being more about himself, which led to that. But going back to the point about Jose, I mean, Jose alluded to Wayne Rooney's goal scoring record. He said the hardest thing in football is putting the ball in the back of the net. And you can't, you know, when Rooney, you know, just look at his record. It's, you know, people say that Rooney doesn't score enough goals. His record for United is actually phenomenal. He's got one in two almost. And, you know, we still say, oh, he doesn't score enough goals. And his record is one in two. Even for England, it's one in two. And he, alongside of that, he gets so many assists. But yeah, I completely agree with Jose Mourinho. We can't drop him into midfield, especially the fact that he can still score goals, and he will score a lot of goals. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile noting in terms of just Wayne Rooney as an individual, just sort of, I guess, in terms of his training and all that side of his game. I would say I very much see Wayne Rooney as a player. Like, if he's spoken to, if an arm is put around his sort of shoulder and he's given guidance, the right kind of guidance, I think he can be a fantastic player. I think you'll know, maybe it was the 2009 to 2010 season where he had a massive hole of goals. I think you'll remember within the Champions League against AC Milan, he scored those, I think it was two absolutely brilliant deft headers, and that very much was a product of the fact that he noticed that him and Fergie noticed that there was an element to his game which was lacking a little bit, and that was, I guess, his headers, and he worked on that within training. So I don't see why Jose Mourinho couldn't do the same thing. I think Jose is going to be aware of the fact that Wayne Rooney is potentially seen as someone who's not as potent in front of goal anymore, and he's going to work with him on that with him in training, and I don't see why he can't succeed. We've got Zlatan, who's 34 years old. Wayne's what, 30? I see plenty more coming from Wayne.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's our captain as well, let's not forget that. I mean, I've said this plenty of times before, if we lose Wayne Rooney and Michael Carrick, in my opinion, we'll be in trouble. People will look at the United team sheet and it'll be unrecognisable. I mean, Liverpool, looking at Liverpool, I mean, you know, they're not fighting for the top at the moment, but they lost Gerrard and they completely lost their identity. You look at the Liverpool team sheet now and you just can't tell it's Liverpool. You know, they needed to keep hold of Gerrard.
Absolutely right. Yep, so we'll keep a keen eye on Wayne Rooney as well and his progress, especially under Jose Mourinho. Jose's been a big fan of him, so we expect big things. Okay, moving on. Actually, just before we move on to transfer rumours, just want to make mention of the fact that we do want some audience participation. So if you've got any feedback or comments with regards to what you want us to talk about, maybe there's a big story that we've not covered that you think we should cover, then simply go on to simplyreds.co.uk. That's the website. Click on that feedback button at the top right. Or use our Twitter account, and we are at simply_reds, and that's our Twitter handle. So let us know what you want to talk about, or if you've got any feedback in general, maybe you want to shout out a message to Mittal, ask him how his ballet classes are going, feel free to do so on there. Okay, so on to the transfer rumours. United transfers. So they're a bit like London buses, really. We didn't have many for a long time, but looks as if Jose is getting his business done very early on. He made mention of that within the press conference as well. So by the time that this goes out, we will have not only signed Eric Bay or Bailey, Mkhitaryan. We've also got Zlatan now as well. So we've got defender, we've got midfielder, and we've got a striker. So very much a spine, new spine. Of the Manchester United team. Do you think this is enough? Do you think we need more players? What's the word on the grapevine with regards to a transfer room?
To be honest, there's only one word on the grapevine at the moment, and that's Paul Pogba.
Oof. Let's just take a moment to appreciate the man, the legend that is Paul Pogba. A, what is it now? Four-time Serie A winner, golden boy, I think he was lauded, winning a total of, what, 10 trophies since he's left us? He certainly has been lauded as the one that got away from Fergie. So yeah, I completely agree. Paul Pogba seems to be hot on the press's lips at the moment with regards to Manchester United transfer rumours. So you mentioned the name. Let me pose you a question. It seems as if, from what I've been reading anyway, the transfer fee for Paul Pogba is going to be absolutely astronomical. I know you've made mention of the past in the fact that you don't give a shit, it's not your money, but 100 million, you could do a lot with 100 million. Like, I don't know, buy 100 million £1 ready meals or something. Joking aside, the whole Leicester squad costs 55 million. So just in terms of that kind of figure that's being banned around, number one, do you think it's true? Do you think it is the region of 100 million? And if it is, do you think it's worth buying Paul Pogba, or should we be looking at getting maybe two or three other quality players?
First and foremost, I don't think it's worth it. No, I don't think anyone in this world is worth 100 million. Let's be honest. To be honest, I think they should have, FIFA or whoever who's in charge, they should have put a cap on players when it went past the 30 million mark. It just took the piss. I mean, even wages, they should never have gone past 100k a week. There should have been a cap, but yeah, that's gone now. That's past. But like you said, I don't think it's true. I think that's just complete bullshit. I don't think it's 400 million. I mean, I read some rumors yesterday whereby I read that the 100 million included his agent's fee of 25 million.
Yeah, I was reading the same thing.
Yeah, so which means, he'd be for 75 million or so. I'll take that, even though that's way too much as well. To be honest, I don't want to be paying more than 60 million for him, to be honest. But you know what, like you said, at the end of the day, I don't give a rat's ass, because I'd rather I'd rather we invest that money than it going to the Glazers' pockets, because that's what we've been doing so long. They've just been eating the club.
True.
They've got so much money.
Be honest, they're just going to dig this out of the club's coffers. They're not going to pay out of their own pockets for this.
I think they will pay out of the pockets. The pockets are huge, absolutely huge, and let's not forget that, and it'll just be a small fraction of what's coming out of their pocket.
The fact of the matter is, the Glazers have heavily put the club sort of into debt, and I think whilst it seems as if they're coughing up these millions of pounds to buy the likes of Juan Mata and whatnot, if I'm being brutally honest, I think the actual fees are simply spread across multiple seasons. The club has simply have got to pay for those players themselves out of the revenue that they earn. So again, I don't know how much I buy your story of, the Glazers are coughing up for this. They're pretty much just leeches the way I see it. But let's not get into that whole sort of argument. I guess sort of getting back to the question, would you, I take it then you wouldn't spend that 100 million, you'd rather buy maybe a couple of other players?
No, Pogba is Adidas's golden boy. He's their poster boy as well. So I believe Adidas will be pushing this as well. They know they'll make a lot of money from the back of Pogba in terms of sponsorship and copyright. This, I don't understand all of it, but there'll be so much money associated with it. And I think they will actually assist with purchasing Pogba. I really do believe that. But going back to it, we'll make a lot of money off the back of Pogba as well. Shirt sales, sponsorships. So you know what? If it does come down to 100 million, let's do it. Pogba's a different class. He will complete our team. He will be that man we've been looking for so long. That box to box.
He's got a hell of a lot to live up to if he does end up being the marquee signing at 100 million. I don't know whether, well, to be honest, it could be 100 million euros, in which case it's a completely different ballpark. But he is sort of 20, 23 years old. And I guess if you're looking at his record, I was comparing, I kind of did a little bit of analysis, looked up where Paul Pogba is now and where Cristiano Ronaldo was in terms of when he left Manchester United for Real Madrid. And both just comparing those two players in terms of the amount of trophies that they've won and individual awards and whatnot, they're both very much on par. The only thing that Paul hasn't got above Ronaldo is that all elusive Champions League trophy for Paul. So I guess he's kind of worth it. But again, for me, I don't think we as a club could justify, well, we as a club could, but I mean, just in the modern world, that's just a stupid fee. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous, that fee. And like you said, he's going to live with it for the rest of his life, and so will we as United fans. And whenever Pogba makes a poor pass, you know, everybody will let us know that that was 100 million. But you know what? He'll live up to it. He's a fantastic player. Everybody knows that.
You really think he'll live up to it?
He will, absolutely. Like you said, he's so young. He's got plenty to offer. And, you know, going back to his Champions League, he's been in the final already. And you know what? As much as respect I've got for Juventus, they're not, you know, the biggest club in Europe, and he needs to make that big step up. And everybody taking the piss out of us, saying, you know, you let him go and you're bringing him back. I think it's more of a question of a Pogba. He's coming back for a club he walked away from. So it's more of a question for him. Why are you coming back? Because he knows he made the mistake by leaving United. He's coming back home now because he's got a point to prove.
Oh, what a plot twist that is.
He knows that United is a club that will take his game to the next level. So it was a mistake from him, not from us.
Well, what more can I say? So on that note, and given the fact that Mujtaba's out there getting the bunting out and getting the streamers and balloons and whatnot out, trying to welcome Paul Pogba back into the Manchester United fold, we'll leave it there. In terms of closing remarks, Jose wants it all. He wants goals, he wants good football, he wants glory. We've not seen the last of the transfers either, I feel. Jose's looking for one more new player to add to his collection, that being, we think, Paul Pogba. So yeah, watch this space. And on that note, thank you very much, guys, and tune in next time.